Welcome to A Girl, A Guy, and a Buffy podcast, Small Bites edition. I'm your co-host, Kate Balzer.
And I'm Charles Swint. So our Small Bites episodes are discussions we had in the main episode that didn't quite fit the overall conversation, but we still wanted to share with you all.
We hope you enjoy these tasty conversational bites. We promise, no angry puppy scars from listening.
You know, and it's, and we talk about, you know, we're talking about Slayers and how, and talking about the impact of that. And even that term, when we're referring to the idea of someone who hunts vampires and someone who kills vampires, the idea of someone being a Slayer was not sort of commonly known until Buffy. And so before you were called a vampire hunter, like you were deemed a vampire hunter, you right. weren't necessarily deemed a Slayer. And it wasn't until Buffy came around in sort of the popular usage of that word in context to who she is as a person and also the profession that she does and her calling. And it even gets mentioned in a John Carpenter movie that he makes the quote, and he says, the Mexican government has not yet recognized Vampire Slayer as a legitimate occupation. But that's the one time that term Slayer is used. But like the rest of the time, that person is referred to as like a vampire hunter. And so when you look at like Abraham, you know, movies like Abraham Lincoln, you know, right. it's not Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer. It's Abraham right. Lincoln Vampire Hunter. So it's, you know, that word is very like dedicated to Buffy, to yes. Kendra, to Faith, and then to all other women, you know, past that, but can sort of seep out into other, into things outside of that universe as well. And I think that's just yeah. the cultural influence of that word as opposed to anything else, because it's a sleeker, sexier name to me to call you a Slayer as opposed to calling you a vampire hunter, because right. there's also the implication that you not only hunt, but you slay and you kill, which again is also like a modern. So then we talk about slaying, and in queer community and young community, they're like, hey, slay, you know, that even that term, a slay means you killed, you rocked it, it was amazing, stems from that word, like slay. So when people, you know, talk about Buffy slaying and oh my gosh, you slay, like that's how we've taken something that's gone from jargon of yeah. her being a slayer, having to slay, into it being like a verb and being something that you do that is now slang for being, you nailed it, you killed it, you slay. Mm-hmm. So that yeah. the development of that word is, I think, incredible.
Yeah, I mean, and I think what gave the language of the show probably a longer lifespan than the size, than you would expect from the size of the audience it had during its run on the WB and then UPN, is the fact that so many other writers in television and movies watched that show. Mm-hmm. So they adopted. I mean, I think of the times like, and I can't, no examples coming to mind, because I think in some ways there are so many, when you're watching a show and there's some, you know, crazy bad thing happening and it's like a normal show, it's not a genre show, it's not supernatural, and they like jokingly throw out a line like, hey, where's the vampire slayer when you need one? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Like you said, it's become like, no, they're not saying, oh, where's the vampire hunter when you need one. Like they specifically, you know, when they say that, they're referencing Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
right?
Like the television series, maybe specifically the character, but definitely the television series. And which is interesting, because in doing the research, I saw this great video by these linguistic experts on Wired, mm-hmm. and they were kind of doing a little bit of a like history of slang. And one thing that happens with slang is it tends to burn fast, hot and fast. It doesn't last for a very long time. There are a couple exceptions to that rule, but part of it is so much slang comes out of youth culture, so that we feel that by the time, well, particularly in modern times, that we feel by the time, you know, older people are using it, it's already played out.
Right.
Like it's no longer cool.
Right.
So it's interesting the fact that that like has lived on beyond the normal length that slang tends to have a lifespan.
Right.
But you know what's also really interesting, I don't know if you found this in your research, that really, at least, let me just say this, this is really going back to Western European culture, which obviously then influences American culture. But slang originally really came out of the criminal culture. So it was like words that criminals were using started crossing over into mainstream culture back in like the 1600s or even earlier than that, like in England. And
Yeah.
then so it's funny that like that, so now it's moved from coming primarily from like criminal culture into youth culture in modern times.
Well, and it's a lot, and a lot of times too, I think when we talk about slang and we're looking at that usage, there is in queer culture, there historically, and you're talking about like England back in, 1600s, I think, maybe 16, 17, somewhere around there, maybe 1800s. There was a language called Polari, which is like rhyming Cockney slang. And it was used by queer community and by like sailors on the docks, around the docks, when you were like cruising and stuff like that, when you were doing basically illegal activity, and trying to like hook up, and ways to like identify and talk to people. And so it was a way to self-identify without incriminating yourself. And so you could say something out loud in public, but only if you knew what the slang was, would you be able to, like, you would be like, oh, okay, your family, I'm here for that. I can come and talk to you. And so, and it's funny that some of those words, even used back then, are still words that we use today. Like words like camp or zhuzh, like to zhuzh up a place is like a part of, so it's interesting how you're right. I think like there is this element of, criminality or just people, and maybe not, and I would even caution criminality. I would say people using language as a way to express themselves without being persecuted for the activities that they're doing, not always criminal, but some, maybe they were criminal by default because of cultural and,
Legal norms of the
legal
time.
norms that didn't make sense. But yes, but to that point, I would say yes, I think a lot of that comes out of that jargon, or that slang, not that jargon, which to me brings up this point, which is probably our next, is like, how does that language, like the use of that language, is so specific, and it's so, and it means something so specific in English. How does that translate into other languages, right? Like, how does, a conversation between Buffy and Giles hold up, in French or in German or in, Portuguese or something like that? Like I think there are cultural things that don't match up. They're like how we structure a sentence doesn't match up. And so therefore, when you're translating those things, how do those things match up? I wish I could hear it in my ear.
And well, and then does that having to compensate for the translation, do you lose that sense of, like we were saying, where an idea is condensed into a few words, but because we're using very slang words that don't necessarily translate directly into another language, then you have to use a lot more words to get to the same point, like fire bad, tree pity. Well, maybe you have to say in another language, like you can't say it that way. So you have to say, Giles, I'm exhausted. Stop asking me questions.
Right. Or like even just the idea of like, 1, 2, 3 is not a planet, Sesame Street. Like, although Sesame Street is sort of more
Universal.
universal, and it's all over the place. So, but I just wonder, or maybe the Kaiser Söze one might be a better example, like how some of those culturally specific things that we talk about, how does that translate? I did find a forum that did talk about this a little bit, and I'm assume, and I'm taking that this is from people who speak the language, speak other languages. And so when you look at, and I think, so I think in, and I think it's the French translation. Hold on. Yeah, so in the French translation, Buffy uses like the vous terms when talking to Giles, which is and also like in German, the sie, the sei. I don't speak German, you guys, I'm sorry. But like so more, and even in Portuguese and Spanish versions where she'll say Senor Giles.
Yeah, it's more
All of
formal
those are
because there's
more formal.
right. Like we don't have that in English. Not really. Not in the same way, not in the conjugation the way you do in well, obviously in German, but in the Romance languages where you have a more formal you and a more informal you.
And even so, like Buffy never calls him Mr. Giles, which is what you would call him because he's a teacher. Joyce calls him Mr. Giles, until after they sleep together, and then that stops. But once you've diddled on, once you've been done like a stevedore on the hood of a cop car, I guess all formality goes
Oh my
away.
God. Twice.
Twice. And apparently handcuffs were involved. So once that happens, there is no formality behind any of that. But Buffy
Yeah.
never calls him Mr. Giles. She always just refers to him as Giles, which again
Right.
sort of gives us a sense of the informal relationship that he, I respect him by calling him by his last name, but not going to put the Mr. in front of it.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that kind of actually loses it if they're putting their language equivalent of Mister, because it's not only that, it shows her, I'm not putting up with your council formality. Like, I'm not your tool, you know, in that little bit of just calling him Giles and not Mr. Giles. There's not the like referential, like, oh, you're the teacher. I should like listen to everything you say as my watcher. And she's like, hell no, I'm in charge. Like, or this is a partnership, really. Like,
Right, it's
it
more of a
develops into a
partnership.
partnership, but her sort of initial and like he doesn't know how to react, and that's where also some of the comedy comes from is, you know, she's like, I'm a teen girl who kind of knows myself, even though I'm still developing as a person, and yeah, we're not doing it this way. So you lose something in the translation if they're actually using that, just because in that culture, that's what it means. Like, that's the norm, but you're like, that's not what this show is doing, and that's not what that character is saying.
Also it becomes kind of a nickname too, like for him,
Yes,
because
yes.
it's because everyone calls him Giles, and
Right.
like no one says like Mr. Giles or anything like that, and his first name is Rupert. Like no one calls him, like Jenny does. Jenny calls him Rupert, and I think
Right.
Joyce does, like maybe once or twice, but like Giles becomes like his cool little nickname or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I also thought back too, because I know both of us just re-listened to the Buffering episode with the Illusionist podcast host, Helen Salzman. And she talked about how that's very British school to call the boy by the, or, you know, to call a guy, to call another guy by his last name only. So the fact that Joss Whedon went to school in England as a, you know, I think he went to high school. I'm sure some of it comes from that as well. Like, you know, since he knows British culture, having gone to school there, that's also a little bit of an element of it. Which Buffy doesn't know, obviously. She's pulling from it from another direction, but I just meant as like the writer himself, like that may have been part of his thinking as well.
And my understanding too is just from the little bits that I read on this. I mean, it wasn't very many posts, but a lot of people say that the translations of the show don't hold up well because of how they are translated. And that the language of it doesn't quite land. And so people who are bilingual are like, no, it's a show that's just better in English.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine. I mean, obviously the translators are doing the best that they can, but like
Sure.
we've just discussed this whole episode. It is so specifically developed language. Like it
Right.
is not even common English, you know? So of course, trying to translate basically made up vocabulary,
Right.
or
Into
newly
another.
made vocabulary into another language that doesn't have anything comparable. I mean, I can't even imagine. So obviously, not to quote a movie title, but there is something lost in translation. But bump, no
Much.
pun intended, but I gotta
But
slay him like
fully
Buffy.
intended. Pun fully intended. Own the pun. Own the pun.
I love a good pun, so I will own it. But yeah, which, it is what it is. So if somebody can, does know English and can watch in English, I'm sure it changes their experience.
Yeah. But there is, and we'll have to post this on our social somewhere, but there is a
Yeah.
video of that of the Once More with Feeling. And is it in French? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I
Or
believe you it's French. Yeah.
in French. That's gorgeous. I mean, she has a hell of a voice, and it's fun to hear in the other language. And somebody was asked, and I think somebody asked too, like, again, how does that translation work when you're talking about the musical and things like that? Like, because the rhyme doesn't work as well. Like, if you're changing things into different languages, then it doesn't always rhyme. It doesn't have the same like rhyming scheme, for all of that. So, and surprisingly, I did not know. Again, I was today years old when I. Which I don't know why I didn't know this, that there was a Buffy drinking game.
I know, I saw that too. I didn't know that either.
I was like, what is that all about? And the whole idea, and like, again, the specificity of it's a drinking game, you guys, right? And so for 21 and older, I'm just throwing
Yes,
it
or
out there.
non-alcoholic beverages under
Yes,
21.
right. And we're not like endorsing people to like go out and like get
Right.
hammered on a Buffy drinking game. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there is a game out there that
It
exists.
exists.
It exists. So we're not going to ignore it. But it's like it's one of those things that it's like it you take a drink, like if Buffy uses Buffy speak, right? And like the specificity of using Buffy speak versus like cute Buffy slang and like and making those differentials, and I don't know how you do those things, but some of the other rules are like if Buffy dusts a vamp with her stake, if someone uses the word hellmouth, which is jargon, a lot of this is around the jargon of it, well, except if Spike Angel O'Reilly has shirtless scenes, then you take a drink. You take two drinks if another male character has a shirtless scene. Buffy or Angel have a line that consists solely of saying the other's name, which is hilarious.
Oh my God.
Oh, this is a great one. You notice Sarah Michelle Gellar's stunt double.
You would just get wasted in
Wasted
season
all that. It's
three.
just in season three.
Season
You're
three, I
done.
feel
You're
like, is like
done.
the worst
You
where
can
that
never,
happens.
you can't, you will never survive season three.
No.
Giles, Spike, or Wesley use British slang.
Okay.
Willow
Please
and.
tell me there's one where Giles gets knocked out.
Okay. Yes!
Okay, thank you. Come
Giles
on. I
gets
was
knocked
like,
out is on the list.
yes.
Willow engages in Hollywood hacking. So like anytime
Oh,
she's
okay,
like, I'm gonna
gotcha.
hack the,
Great.
hack the internet. Anytime Willow casts a spell, goodbye season, like goodbye season six, you're done.
Yeah. Is
Xander's
there
just
one where Anya mentioned sex? Because there should be.
let me see. There is Anya's obsessed over money.
Okay, got it.
Her No, not her mention of sex, but her mentions of money.
Okay.
Xander's the show's butt monkey. Let's see here. Spike refers to himself as the Big Bad, or calls himself the Big Bad. Goodbye, season two, you're done. A Slayer other than Buffy appears. Just stop watching, you guys. If Cordelia insults someone, so
Oh,
then you're
God.
just done. So forget watching the show altogether.
Well, basically, for sure, season one and season two
Yeah, you
will
can't.
just be knocked on your bottom.
Yeah, you can't. An innocent is killed or turned in the opening scene. The monster of the week is defeated. So, I mean,
So
there's
every
one.
week?
So every week, you get to, that's fun, at least one drink every week.
Yeah.
There's sexual tension between two characters. There's a title drop. So yeah, and
It's
that's some
that's
of the,
a
it's
good
a pretty
list
good
of,
list.
yeah.
Oh, like an attack happens at the Bronze.
Okay.
One villain yells Slayer. Buffy and Joyce disagree and butt heads. And anytime that Joyce is a good mother, then you'd get two drinks.
Oh, that's
Ridiculous.
good. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, all of that, I mean, all of that comes out of, and I found that just because of the like that language thing about, you know, using Buffyisms and things like that, and sort of the made up slang. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Small Bites. Let us know your thoughts about the episode by leaving a review or rating us wherever you listen to your podcast.
You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at A Buffy Podcast and email us at abuffypodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.